Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I am honored once again by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. Here at the Business Creators Radio Show, we take you to those places where you have those mastermind meetings and those aha moments that can change your trajectory forever, or at least bring you a little bit closer to your intersection of your brilliance and your passion, wherever you find yourself today. We don't have a $25,000 Hollywood quality studio. In fact, I come to you sitting in an outdoor cafe. It's a beautiful day here in gorgeous Las Vegas, known to some as the hottest city in America. And we are going to perhaps hear a little bit of ambient noise in the background. But think about that. Isn't that where you're normally at when you have those types of conversations? So I want you as a listener to imagine yourself being the third person hanging out with us, searching for those aha moments, searching for those little morsels of wisdom that could impact you, whether it's directly because of what we're going to share today, or maybe it'll spur an idea in your mind that will help you answer a question that perhaps you didn't even know to ask about whatever it is you're doing now. See, today we're talking about franchising. I like to bring a topic on franchising into Business Creators Radio maybe about twice a year, and I look for people who have something unique to say about it. Franchising is one of those perennial topics. It is one of those things where there's really nothing new under the sun, in my opinion, except for what the guest brings to it in terms of their own experiences and their own approach. And so when I saw today's guest, I had to have her. Just had to have her because of the way she amalgamates several different disciplines into the whole area of franchising. This is a mix I need you to see. So her name is Kim Daly, and she is here to help you stop working for someone else's bottom line and become what's known as a franchisepreneur. And I'm really interested in her spin on this because as a franchise owner, while you do have independence, you are kind of contributing to somebody else's bottom line. So just to tell you a little bit about her, She's invested more than 20 years educating, motivating, inspiring people to control their time and financial future by investing in the right franchise. And as a franchise consultant, she offers a free service that matches background, interests, skills, finances, and goals to the best franchise opportunities available today. As a business and mindset coach, this is kind of the thing I'm interested in. She challenges candidates to break through limiting beliefs and overcome their fears while teaching them how to build the business of their dreams. So today, she's recognized, and I checked this out, I see a lot about her, as one of America's top franchise consultants, and we are excited to tell us why franchising is more than food and retail, why you don't necessarily need any prior business experience, and how you can become a successful franchisepreneur. Kim Daly, come on in. The weather is fine.
I love it, Adam. Thank you so much for that grand introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we like to do here is I'm doing great. We're doing a podcast interview right now. See what I mean? We're real here. So anyway, let's dive in here. Now, before I go through some of the points you shared with me in the green room, Kim, what I want to do is pull back the curtain and have you tell us in your own words, in your own experiences, a bit about your journey, what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
You got it, Adam. So first thing I'll say is for the last 22 years, so I started out as an entrepreneur, like many people do when they think about owning their own business. And entrepreneurship is great. And I love entrepreneurs. Look, I wouldn't have new franchises to bring to all of my candidates if we didn't have people out there starting businesses from scratch. But the easiest people to convince of the true value proposition of a franchise are former entrepreneurs. If you've ever started a business from scratch, and once in your life is probably enough. And that was definitely my case. I was successful, but it was very lonely. It was very stressful. It was very uncertain. How do you scale? How do you not build a business around your own expertise, which is what most entrepreneurs do? And so I started looking for more when I was 29 years old because I really never worked for anybody else. I started my first company at 25, having only one job right out of college, and that was for a franchise company where I got exposure to franchising. So at 29, I started, coming back to my franchising roots and thinking, look, I need something with sustainability. I need some systems. I need some support. And that's when I found FranChoice, which is the franchise I'm a part of and have been a part of for the last 22 years. So as I'm helping people, wherever they are, at a crossroads in their career, maybe they worry about being laid off, maybe they've been laid off, maybe they are alternative investors who own Airbnbs or short-term or long-term rentals, and they're looking for diversification in their portfolio. Wherever I'm meeting people, I stop and I tell my story because I was you. And I was trying to solve for the same problem you're trying to solve for. And I found franchising. Franchising has completely changed my life. I have accomplished so many amazing things, including becoming America's top franchise consultant, taking myself from the average group for 8 years in my franchise to 1 year later, back in 2011, making history in the franchise consulting business by building the largest consulting business that had ever been built at that time. And then for the last 13 years, just perfecting my business, mastering the art of what I do, helping, as I build my own business and helping more and more people realize how to really build and scale wealth through a franchise. So that's my story. So my story comes, my passion comes because franchising has changed my life. You can't not be passionate about something when you know the power that it can deliver in your own life.
And I love your enthusiasm and your passion for this because, candidly, some of the folks I have spoke with about franchising are just boring.
I'm sorry that you got to them first, Adam, but I'm
Not
glad you got to
now,
Jamili now.
now not the people on the Business Creators Radio Show, because we only hang out with cool people here. But I'm just saying
Super
I've run
cool.
into this all the time, and it's like they just want to get to balance sheets and they want to ask, well, what is your prospectus for the next? I don't know. I just basically want a turnkey business. I mean, now,
Exactly.
and a lot of them, they do speak about things like food and retail and things like that. And what I'm interested in is what are some of the other franchise opportunities out there beyond food and retail? But we'll get to that. So the first thing I want to gain from you is if you can share our thoughts of, right now, as we speak in March of 2024, for those who are listening 5 years from now, because the Business Creators Radio Show will be here after I die, we're in some pretty interesting economic times. It affects everybody I know, and I've been pretty candid on this podcast that I myself have been going through some financial issues as a result of it because of shifts in the marketplace and the need to continually pivot. I don't know anybody in my circle right now, even the most successful people, who are not feeling the need to pivot, to be smart, to be very intentional about how they leverage and use the money they have. So I right now am asking on behalf of our listeners that if you could tell us why franchising is safe, even in an uncertain economy, because 5 years from now we might be in an uncertain economy again.
Well, here's the thing, Adam. So if you want to be a business owner, right? Because you want control over your time and your financial future, you want more passion in your day-to-day work, you can't control the economy. So if you're going to be a business owner, you have to let go of words like recession. It's just a word. It doesn't mean anything unless you give it meaning. I have been in business for 22 years through the hard recession of 2008 and the crash of the market when everybody uses a 401k to fund a franchise and nobody had any 401k left. And then the pandemic. Oh my God, everybody's gonna die. I've never made all these things a reason why I couldn't grow my business, and they've never been reasons I couldn't grow my business. In fact, I made history in my franchise through the recession the first time back in 2011. So if you're super worried about the word recession, then we're going to lean into more service-oriented businesses that are more recession-resilient, things that people spend money on regardless of the economy. If you get a leak in your roof, you got to fix the roof. If
There's no question because you got black mold.
your pipes burst and you need a water restoration company, then you got to fix it. If
Of
your
course, you're going to get
electric
black mold.
backs up, yeah, there's so many franchises that have that. But on the flip side, sometimes these aren't really super fun or sexy businesses. When you look at things that are a little bit more sexy, like a day spa, let's say, you look at the targeted demographic for that spa. There's a certain threshold in middle to upper class America where, regardless of what's happening in the economy, people, women, are spending money. And if a woman defines her confident look by coloring her hair or putting Botox in her face or tanning her skin or doing her nails, I can guarantee you she's not stopping because somebody is telling you there's a recession, right? And so, in fact, after the pandemic, when we could start to safely reopen by July of 2020, as stores started getting open in various states, the onslaught of women back into all the different spas and salons that are franchises because we all needed our hair done. We were dying to get our eyelashes done, dying to get a manicure. And then there was just other people who were like, you know what? I just want a simple way to feel better, for God's sake. And so they started doing these services that maybe before they didn't do. Like the whole eyelash market took off because if you cover your face with a mask, what's prominent? Your eyes. And so more women started doing their brows and their eyes during 2020 and 2021 for that simple fact. So the thing is, Adam, when people come to me, I meet you wherever you are. I'm not judging you. I'm not pushing you into anything. I'm just going to challenge your thought. I'm going to help you see past what I would believe is a limiting belief. And believing that a recession is going to impact your business is a limiting belief. In every single franchise, I can guarantee you there will be people who are making that statement true, and there will be people who are not making that statement true. And so, as if you're a candidate, if you want to make what you're thinking true, you'll find the people in the group who are. If you're like, I want to be challenged, I know that I can't control the economy, and I want to know why I don't have to, you'll go find the people in that franchise who are making that their reality.
So we like to have some fun here on Business Creators Radio. We are not your typical Q&A podcast, and we do get a little edgy here. I'm actually toning it down a bit because I studied the demographics of your listeners and also looked at the types of my listeners who are most likely to be most interested in you. And they're not really looking for me to go off on a blue streak of cursing. So I want to have a little bit of flirty fun here. Can you indulge me?
Whatever you want. You can curse. I don't care. I think it's awesome.
Well, fuck, I will. All right. So, Kim, you've worked in franchising for many years. You've done coaching. You've brought a number of disciplines together to create your very unique mix of services. But I have to ask, and maybe it was during that time before you were 29 years old and you decided that you wanted more than what you had experienced up until that point. You saw something in front of you and you recognized you had to have it now. So, did you ever work for the Department of Defense?
No.
Okay, I have to ask because although I haven't met you in person, I have obviously seen your headshot from your publicist, and I've got to tell you, your eyes are weapons of mass distraction.
Oh.
Okay, I know that was really corny, and there's a part two to this. That's my pickup line. Here's why I
I
bring it up
love
and
it.
why I was inspired to say that. I know we're having a little bit of fun here. You mentioned women who during the pandemic couldn't even get their hair did. So they're sitting at home. They're using their regular scissors they use to cut paper to get their bangs out of their eyes. And then finally, they can go get spa treatments again. But then you have these restrictions on how many people they can see. They have to have social distancing. So now these spas are open again, but they are booked out for weeks, if not months.
Yes.
And all they want to do is they want to get their hair back the way it was. They want to get their face back the way it was. And then after we had the opening, then we had to go through all this stuff with masks and stuff like that. So the pickup line used to be, your smile is a weapon of mass distraction. But we changed it to eyes because everybody was wearing a mask.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that makes me think of a few different franchises right there. First of all, your spas. Second is you have optometrists and optometry companies that have franchises. So this could send women thinking, if I'm going to have to wear this stupid mask, then maybe I'm going to get some really nice contacts, or I'm going to get a new set of glasses because that's going to be, at least for a while, perhaps the most attractive visible feature of my face. And this can be the same for men too. Men had to wear masks, and perhaps it's something about their eyes, or they decided that, well, if that's the only thing that people are going to see, then you know what? The heck with it. I'm going to get myself a real nice new pair of specs.
Yep.
And
Well, the thing is,
then, yeah,
Adam.
and then look at some of the other things. Novelties, for example, because we also saw a little bit of an industry in novelty masks. And then there were different types of masks here, N95s and all those other technical terms that I never understood. But just within what you told me and thinking about my pickup line, I saw three or four franchise opportunities right there that I could go searching for.
You're right. Here's what I'll say to sum up COVID, because nobody in franchising is talking about COVID anymore. It is so like been there, done that. Nobody. So I work with about, I don't know, 200, 300 different brands. I don't have one franchise brand that crumbled because of COVID. I don't have even my fitness brands reopened, did not have mass casualties like franchises exiting. Now, were there people who did not follow the leadership in a franchise because of their own fear? Of course. But is
Doesn't
that,
it happen all the time?
of course, it's not a fault of pandemic. That's just human nature. But what I'm trying to get at is that the biggest advantage to the franchise in a pandemic or recession is that you are not in this alone. You're not getting in the fetal position thinking, oh my God, what do I do? There's a whole team of people there to come together collaboratively to solve the problem. And that is how franchising works. It is why franchising is more successful long term than entrepreneurs, because you have collaboration on all fronts. And you said something in the beginning about, when you were saying something about a franchise, you're still working for somebody else's bottom line. And I'll argue that point all day long. So franchisors make money because they teach us how to make money, but they're making a very small percentage off of our gross revenue. So they're in it for mass, for volume, and the franchise has to become very large, and every franchisee has to become very big. Because if you're only taking 7% of gross revenue, right, and your average franchisee is stuck doing $500,000, that's not a lot of money. That's not enough money for a franchisor to retire off of. You see what I mean? So the franchisors, it's a fallacy that you're making the franchisor rich. They're helping you build the wealth of your dreams, which is not just measured in money, although there's plenty of money being made in franchising. It's scale of wealth, it's passion for your day-to-day life, it's quality of life. Today, I left the gym at 2:30 for the second time today. I'm a gym rat. I went to the gym two times today, once this morning and once at 1:30 today. And I made a little video about it that's going to post on Instagram. And it was really about quality of life. I'm not bragging about my gym habits, but I'm making the point that, like, if you work for somebody else and you feel out of shape and you're so sick of it, you have options. Now, being a business owner is the way to all freedom, but for most people, that's way too risky. Over here in franchising, you can buy down that risk because you're partnering yourself with people who are going to train you and support you and give you all the tools and help you see how to build and scale wealth, not buy yourself a job.
And I think that's all very important because, when people think franchise, they think McDonald's, for example. Now, yeah, you can open a McDonald's franchise as long as you get approved because they have certain geographic areas. Like they can't put you literally put one right down the street from another one because that creates problems for all franchisees. But you open a McDonald's, for example, and you get all their operations manual, you get their way of doing things, you get their blueprints to build the store. And McDonald's actually makes a lot of their money on owning the land underneath the stores. The store itself is only one piece of the equation. The same way when you go to any gas station, if you notice that over the course of your life, that there used to be a time when a gas station was just a gas station, but nowhere in America will you find a gas station that does not have a convenience store attached. And
Because
every single one of those convenience stores is a franchise of some sort. I've never seen one that's a true independent. I mean, even here in Las Vegas, we have a few brands that are native to Las Vegas, but they're franchises. There's not just one of them. There's like seven of them. And because the real money's in the convenience store, they don't make a big margin off the gas. The money's in, hey, I'm here. I'm gonna go grab a sandwich and a slushie since I'm here filling up my car anyway.
correct. Now, there are franchises though where if owning the land is important to you, you have that opportunity. A lot of the automotive franchises really encourage, but most franchises don't encourage the owner to build a building or to own the land because the building and the land is a whole separate investment. And
Yeah.
when you look at the way that the cash flows through the business, what you'll typically see is that you'll make more money from the investment of the business than you will from the land or the real estate. Now, that is not true if you're thinking 20 years, but most people probably aren't going to own the business for 20 years. But if you do have that in your vision, like, yes, I'd love to build something that I could pass on to my kids, and you're looking at an industry like a laundromat or automotive that is long-term sustainable, then the franchisor may work with you to find the right landlord who will work into your lease the option to buy that building and that land over time. But by only having to put renovations into the building, it allows you to enter for way less money in a shorter amount of time to get the business cash flowing, which is your goal, to produce a cash flowing business, and then leverage your time through your staff, and then maybe multiply that to a second and a third location. And then once you have experience under your belt and two or three locations going, and teams in place, and maybe even a general manager managing your three stores or so. Now, when you go to build your fourth one, you might have enough cash and enough resources to consider building one from scratch or buying an existing bu business. So, I'm sorry, building and then putting the business in there. But it typically doesn't start unless you are independently wealthy, with like a $30 or $40 million net worth. It typically doesn't start that way for anybody. So don't exclude yourself from the franchising conversation because you don't have millions of dollars. I have franchises that are all in investments of 50 to 100,000 as much, and those are great. They're not, and here's the thing. The level of investment going in does not correlate to the potential to earn. So hear me say that. People think, well, if I put more money in, I must be able to make more money. That is absolutely not a true statement. The way that it works here, Adam, is it's money and time that are correlated. So when you see a lower investment of money, it typically means the owner is putting in a lot more time. Those are more of your sales-driven options. They start from home, which doesn't mean you're working from home. It means you don't have to take on the overhead of a location because you're going out and driving that activity. Nobody's coming to you. You're going out like business to business, if you will. So on the flip side, when you go and you build a $2 million McDonald's restaurant, which, by the way, in 22 years, you're gonna have to beg me to show you food. We're not talking about McDonald's or 7-Eleven or Chick-fil-A of any of that. There are faster, easier, better ways to make money. But since you said McDonald's, I'm just gonna finish the thought. A $2 million McDonald's restaurant, right? Then yeah, that then you're gonna be highly leveraged through all of that technology and all those minimum waged employees and a general manager who's running your restaurant. So that's why it costs $2 million, not just like all the physical build out, but all the technology in there to run all of those, the whole kitchen and the back end and the timing of all of that and the the headsets to the drive-through and all of that. But then the salary for a general manager and all of the staff and the working capital you're going to need until this thing is cash flowing to where you can fund it, it can pay its own bills every month. So money and time are inversely related, but the level of investment going in does not correlate to the potential to earn. And do not exclude yourself because you don't think you have enough money. If you come to me, I will educate you about what every franchise business costs and why. We'll correlate that to your net worth and where you are today. I will never uninspire you. I will plant seeds with you and inspire your dreams. You may say, we may figure out, oh, right, you're so close, but go save a little bit of money and call me back in 2 years or right when you're ready. But you're not going to leave with your tail between your legs. You're going to leave with, the wind in your sails because you're going to know exactly what you need to do and when to call Kim Daly back.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So, let's delve a little bit deeper into this. How do we select the right franchise for background, interest, skills, finances, and life goals? I mean, you've mentioned that you don't necessarily need $1 million. That for 50K, you could potentially be up and running if we can make the intersection of brilliance and passion work. So, what is a bit of the process that people should consider? And I know you have a resource which we're going to share at the end of this conversation for our listeners who want to dive deeper and get more, but can you give us kind of an overview?
Yes, for sure, Adam. So, I mean, this is exactly why Kim Daly has a job, but or a business, because selecting the right franchise is a very daunting task. If you're like most people, when you think of the idea of owning a business, number one, you think about food and retail, which I just said, there's faster, easier, better ways to make money. So please start leaning in. Wait, look, what are they, Kim? I didn't know that franchising was more than food and retail. And then the other thing people do is they look at the community and they think, wow, we don't have a UPS store. So that's what I want to explore. And I'm like, really? Like, that's your dream? Because the community doesn't have one? Like, what if you don't want to be stuck in a retail business 6 days a week? How passionate are you going to be about your business? Who cares what your community needs? What do you need? I want to look at your life 3 to 5 years from now. So I want you to build a vision of who you want to be personally, professionally, and financially. That is the most important thing that we're going to do together. And if you're trying to find a business on your own, it's the most important thing you should do because the business is a vehicle driving an outcome. It is not the end all be all. The other thing that people do is they think, oh, I like to work out. I should look at gym franchises. Well, maybe, but maybe not. What if you don't have the risk tolerance to be in what can be a trendy kind of faddish industry? What if you're more conservative and so the gym doesn't really align with your risk tolerance? Just because you love to work out doesn't mean you want to put your stress into your hobby, for God's sakes. That's why I got out of the gym. It's why I got out of it, right? Like now I get to go to the gym 2 times a day and not worry about how much money the gym is making because it's not my freaking business, right? So what I want to do, what you should do is sort of more self-analysis of your goals. Where do you see yourself in 3, 5, 10 years? And then start to think about the skills that you bring. So when you show up as an investor and an owner in your business, do you want to be driving business development because you love sales? Do you hate sales? Do you want to be customers finding you through a proven marketing plan? It's one or the other. Sales takes time, but costs less, other than your time. Marketing costs a lot of money. That's where people are like, how do these franchise owners get off charging so much money? They're not charging so much money. If you want to build a cash flowing business like a home cleaning service and you're relying on marketing, this is where most entrepreneurs grossly underestimate what it's going to cost and where the myth that franchising is expensive comes from. Marketing is very, very expensive. And you have to consider it's a fixed cost in a business where people are going to find you through search engine optimization or direct mail. You have to consistently spend that money. So, do you want to be in sales? Do you want to be a marketer? Do you want to be managing through a team of people? Do you want to be on the front line meeting your customers? Do you want to be catering to people's homes, like where you have kind of like light fixed costs and kind of going out in the community and servicing your customers where they are? Or do you want to open a brick and mortar store and have people come to you? Does it matter? do you want to own this thing for 5 to 7 years? So you want to invest in sort of the trend that's going up, or are you looking for more 10 to 15 years, something that, you know, maybe you could pass on to your kids and that has long-term sustainability? Do you want to build something you could sell for an exit to private equity, like senior care, something that is going to hold its value, right? These are
Right.
all the things that I would be considering if I were you, and I would not be doing the things I said in the beginning. Looking at what my community needs, buying it because it's my passion, thinking that I have to have experience in it in order to be successful. You do not need prior experience in MBA or even business ownership experience to be successful in a franchise. You need a strong franchisor. So, above everything else, I'm going to say this is the most important part to selecting the right franchise. And you could never do this on your own.
Agreed.
You have to do this through someone like me, because the most important criteria is finding people that have a track record of success and a culture that supports you. How are you ever going to know that? By looking at Entrepreneur 500. How are you going to know that by walking around a trade show on a weekend that passes through your city? You're never going to know that. But I have 22 years of relationships and knowledge. These franchisors, when we get together, it's a college reunion, for goodness sakes, right? I was going to say minus the alcohol, but no, including the alcohol in college, right? But so I've been with most of these franchisors or the people, because franchising is very incestual in that, like, once you get in this industry, if you're in development and a company sells out, you're probably going to go find another company where there's, you know, something new to sell. And so I know the people. I know who's who. I know what franchisors are really, really good selling franchises, but have a horrible reputation for support. But on the flip side, I know the franchisors that genuinely care about you and your success. So you can't do that on your own. And it's not a sales pitch for Kim Daly. I wish there was a way you could do it. People try to do it on their own, but it's really, really hard to know with confidence that you're investing in a good franchisor.
And you're absolutely right about that. I mean, and I think about this too. Like, for example, I have a UPS store account. That's where our mailbox is, because I'm a laptop lifestyle guy. I have a mailbox at a UPS store. And I'll tell you another reason why I have a mailbox at a UPS store is when I actually I'll tell you the whole story, and this can speak a little bit to community. When I first started my business in 2003, I did it as a side hustle right after I completed my MBA, and I had a full-time job, and I was still trying to figure out which way I really wanted to go. And the entrepreneurial bug bit me, but because I didn't know what I didn't know back then, it took me 2 years to make the leap. With what Adam knows right now, he could have done it in 60 days, but that's a different story. So, not long after I got full time, I got an apartment, and or full time entrepreneur. I got an apartment, and there were 16 units there, and most of the people who lived there were working people. They went to jobs 9 to 5. Now you know what that means. During the day, I'm usually the only person in the building. So the UPS guy, who would come to deliver the packages, put two and two together, and he got this idea that from now on, and whenever he had a package delivery, he was just going to buzz me, regardless of who the package was for, so he could leave it inside the door. And I said, "No, you're not going to do that." And that also made me realize, why the hell am I getting mail at home? So I opened a mailbox at the UPS store. When I came to Las Vegas in 2013, I knew that I was going to be renting apartments, because that's my preferred lifestyle at this point in my life. And I guess that I would probably move around a few times in the first 10 years, which has been the case. You know how much of a pain in the ass it is to change your mailing address every time you move?
Such a pain.
And you know how annoying it is if somebody sends a package and you have to sign for it? Wouldn't it be nice to know there's a place that'll collect your mail? You can just swing by a couple times a week, and if you get a package, there'll be somebody there during business hours to sign for it for you, and then send you an email saying, "Hey, you got a package, come pick it up." So UPS store is a community need, but I think every city has several of them, especially since they bought out mailboxes, et cetera, and a couple of other franchise companies within the past 15 years. So I would not want to be in the UPS store business myself. Now, going one step further, there's somebody else I know of in franchising. Her name is Cody Sanchez, and she sends out this newsletter every Thursday. And part of her theme about becoming successful in franchising is finding really boring turnkey businesses. And she mentions how she has investments in things like vending machines and laundromats and, go down those lines. But when I studied her model, what I noticed that her boring businesses had in common is she didn't have to be there. In fact, these are the types of businesses where generally nobody has to be there. You don't need somebody to be at the laundromat. You just have to have it open and have somebody who can come in if there's an issue. For a vending machine, somebody just has to come by every so often and take the money and refill it. So I would say if you want to get into that type of franchising business, and I want your thoughts on this, Kim, that if you're going for the boring businesses for cash flow, find something that's not going to bore you in the sense you're actually going to have to spend a lot of time on it.
I love it. And there are a lot of other options like that. I love laundry. I work a lot with single and multifamily renters, and they definitely understand the market for laundromat, because a lot of times the working people are like, who goes to a laundromat? Because like even renter, even rental properties have laundry today, but that's not always true. And so anyway, the laundromats can do very well. And you know what's awesome? A nice, clean, brightly lit laundromat in a downtown city area. You know how many guys will come in there and drop their laundry off on their way to work and then come back and pick it up if you offer a fluff and fold service? Like, you
Yeah, I do
can
that.
do a mean turnover service with one or two part-time attendants. So I'm the queen of laundry, but I love that. The community clothes bins, like where you say, save the planet, like put your clothes that you want to get rid of and into those kind of like metal bins that you'll see like in front of a grocery store or whatever, maybe at a
Sure.
convenience store. So that's a franchise, and that like to your point, like vending, doesn't require teams of people or a lot of time. But we also have things that are a little more upscale, like shared office space where you have a very, very small team. We have salon suites where you kind of walk in and it's a renter's model where your hairstylist and nail techs, lash artists are renting a suite within your mini mall, which is all beauty professionals, and they pay you weekly rent. I mean, that is one of the I am the queen of that business. It is, in my opinion, the business that every single investor out there wants, but it's a very big investment, so it's not available to every investor. But I've never met anybody who didn't want the business a business with the characteristics of a salon suite. So there's all kinds of businesses, and they're not necessarily wrapped in the brand names that as a consumer you may think are the ones that you have to own when you come to me. But sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, the most fun thing that I do is kind of wow people with options. And they when I present, I'm watching on Zoom and they're like, seriously, this is my dream. And then after they go on what I call the blind dates, which is the first call where you get to go meet the franchisor over the phone and they kind of present who they are as an investor to you, what that opportunity would look like to you. And people come back and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to join this camp. I'm so excited about, dog training or, organic skin care or whatever it is, that at first blush they were like, really? I'm going to be excited about that. Because it's how the franchisor presents what they do and the role that you're going to play and the money in and the money out and the tools they've created, the market demographics, like it's the leadership that they offer you over the process of you learning to become a business owner that you will ultimately buy. You're not going to buy a widget. If you buy a widget, I mean, I'm sorry to say, I don't know that that will lead you to your, business happily ever after. You know what I mean by that, Adam?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean by that. So I'm with you entirely. So the next thing I'm curious about in is what I want to do now is sort of paint a picture for how somebody could enter this lifestyle, because franchising is to a degree a lifestyle. And what I love about your approach is how you bring that into consideration. It's more than just numbers and finding a geographic area and looking for maximum return on investment, regardless of whether you're actually excited about it. But how do people build wealth and the life of their dreams through financing or franchising, rather, becoming franchisepreneurs?
Okay. So wealth is always created through scale. Right. So if you're an apartment investor, it's about how do I leverage my time across multiple rooftops, right?
Yeah.
Well, the same thing will be true in franchise ownership. It's really not going to be about one territory, like, you know, one team if you have a cleaning company, or one truck if you have a 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or one location if you have a spray tan location, right? It's about how do I leverage my time to scale. And that's where franchising wins. Now, you can't get to 2 or 3 units of anything if you can't get past one. So do not hear me say everybody starts with a single. Like, that's where we start. But if you can afford to think about the scale from the beginning, it can save you money, because all franchisors want empire builders, not single unit operators, right? And so the systems are set up for that visionary who wants to come in and dominate a market with 3 stores, right? Where you're going to commit to those stores up front, but you're still going to enter the market one store at a time. So the wealth is created through scale in all models. Again, if it's non-brick and mortar, you're scaling using teams of people or trucks or equipment. If it's brick and mortar, you're scaling using the actual physical location. Now, the lifestyle component comes in, because very often it's hard to include a general manager salary when you're looking at a single unit. But when you go from 1 unit to 2 units, and especially when you go from 2 to 3, but very often the 1 to 2 also, now you can afford a general manager, and now you just gain back your time. Now, sometimes investors are able to start with the general manager from day one, from unit one. So every business is a little bit different. Every investor is a little bit different based on how much money you have or don't have, what your goals are. Sometimes investors love the idea of being hands-free, but then they get in there and they have to be micromanagers because it's their money, and they feel like all of a sudden they become control freaks. You know what I mean? Like, it's really hard to let it go and let somebody else do it. And then other times, people who've led teams all over the world in their big corporate jobs, they come to the idea of owning a franchise and they translate that skill. And within 4 years, you know, I interviewed one guy on my podcast, and he took his leadership, global leadership skills at JP Morgan, applied him to a restoration company, and was doing $21 million in revenue in 4 years' time. So that's massive scale through lots of people. But he also probably had a lot of money, because he wasn't starting to build that kind of a business. He had to be reinvesting in not just in people, but also in equipment and trucks. So everybody's story is a little bit different. Everybody's starting where they're starting. And that's why when you come to me, my service is free. I'm paid by the franchisors, so you have nothing to risk. My advice is free. I'm not offended if you don't take it. It's not legal advice. You're not my client. I'm just here to guide your process, guide your thinking, challenge you. If I believe you have a limiting belief that's holding you stuck, now, you can still believe your limiting belief. Again, it's your life. I'm not here to play God with your life. But I've been doing this very, very successfully for 22 years. So what have you got to risk? Nothing. And maybe, potentially, everything to gain. My promise to my candidates, Adam, is you'll go through this process, and within 1 to 2 weeks, if franchising is not the right place for you or the right investment for you right now, you will figure that out in 1 to 2 weeks. So if you're out there on your own, you may look around for 6 months before you determine it's not for you. In my process, 1 to 2 weeks. Now, if we're going to figure out that this is the right place for you, It takes me about 1 to 2 months to get you competent that you've asked enough questions to the right people, that you're satisfied with enough of the answers, that we've got you pre-qualified for loans, you validated with owners, you understand what a day in the life looks like, you've dotted your I's, you've crossed your T's, and to get you so that you can confidently say yes. So to be competent in your due diligence, so you can be confident in your yes, is about 1 to 2 months.
Wow, that's really great. And I love saving time on this because, as you mentioned earlier, you may think a franchise is interesting because you get those new business pangs, what have you. Then you invest in it and you set it up, particularly if it's a franchise. And now you decide you really hate it. So now what? Because you responded to a community need, or you got really excited by the pitch made by somebody who was selling franchise opportunities. Now, if you start your own business and you decide you don't like it, like I've done things where I've done pilot programs in my business and then just decided I didn't want to do that, I shut them down. But with a franchise, you have a contract.
It's true.
And
You better not shut it down. You're going to lose a lot of money.
So a little bit about how this works. I mean, is there like a guaranteed minimum that they have to make sure they make before they release you for the contract, or are they for specific time? Like, yeah, you have to be in it for 5 years. You have to agree to it for 5 years. And is there also something, because one of our other guests, I think, said something to the effect when it comes to franchises, that if you want out of the franchise, you then have to go back to the network and see if they can find another buyer to get you out. And then it's dependent on whether they can find you another buyer.
All businesses are built to be sold, including franchises. This is your entity. The day that you sign your franchise agreement, you are committing typically to a 10-year agreement, which is not a detriment to you. It's a blessing to you. That means that you have all rights to trademarks, industry, insider knowledge, tools, system support training for 10 years, and all of that protected territory, those 100,000 zip codes or those. The 3 to 5 mile radius around your store, whatever, that is your protected area to build and to maximize for whatever the term of that agreement is, be it 5 years or 10 years. But the business can be sold at any time. So let's say you're 1 year in and you're like, this isn't the thing for me. What you've built has value. If the franchisor is still selling franchises, you at least have a franchise fee, even if you're not positively cash flowing. Now, a business broker may not say it has value, but this is where when you go back to the franchisor and then they come to consultants like Kim Daly and say, hey, we have a new owner 1 year in who bought a truck, paid the franchise fee, looking to just kind of break even on what they put in. 100,000 would be in. You find us a buyer, Kim. So I can't go into my database and look for resales. But if I'm thinking of this company for you, because you're my candidate, Adam, and I do a territory check and the franchisor says, hey, would your candidate be interested in a fire sale opportunity? Well, wouldn't you be interested in a fire sale opportunity? Right? If you could buy down the curve, right? Whether that's waiting 3 months to get a truck if you started new. Right, because they're 3 months on back order, or maybe it's the business you had to get a license to open it, and this person already went through the process to get the license, and you can just walk in and transfer it to your name. So, whatever that person has created has some value to somebody else if the franchisor is still selling franchises. So, when people close their doors, they cringe, they don't understand what they just built. Even if it's not positively cash flowing yet,
Yeah, you know,
it's
it's fun.
still easier than somebody else starting from dead scratch.
I was just curious about this because the business I'm in right now, and I'm in the process of pivoting this, is largely a one-to-one services business where myself and a couple of my assistants render various services in the area of podcasting. So, and there's some business consulting involved with it as well through one of the brands, but that's not really a big piece of our business right now. So just for kicks, I had a valuation done and I was thinking they were going to laugh at me. But they told me that actually I could probably get $35,000 for what I have, even though it's all virtual. It's I run it off a laptop, and it's all stored in Dropbox, and it simply is myself and two other people who work together to render services. So here's why they tell me it's worth, actually between $35,000 and $40,000. Because
Say.
for our here are the reasons. For our Launch Your Podcast Fast program, we already have a schematic, we already have a plan, we have charts, we have processes, we have templates, we have designs, we have protocols. This is something that we spend a lot of time developing. Somebody could take it and run with it. The business has several websites where theoretically, all a buyer would have to do is take my name off and put their name on. So it's already built. It's already attached to an email marketing system. They could just pick up the payments on that. There are already autoresponders, follow-up sequences, and everything that they can use as is. Just put their name on them or tweak them as they go along. Also, I have a published book called Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, which is self-published and written entirely by me. However, somebody could acquire that book as part of a buyout, add a chapter to it, and put something on the cover that says as interpreted by and put their name on it. Those were the 3 points that they gave me in terms of why my business potentially has value, because the time I spent developing it essentially created a turnkey that would put somebody way ahead of the development curve if they wanted to get into the business I wanted it, that I'm in, and I wanted out. Plus, they would also have the opportunity to reach out to all of my existing clients and say, we bought Adam's business and we want to continue the services that he was rendering you. It's just us managing it now. Would you like to stay? So it has immediate cash flow available to it.
Exactly, Adam. And that's in a mom and pop, like a startup. Imagine if you now attach the brand equity in a franchise, assuming that you're invested in a franchise that has some brand equity, right? Meaning the name means something in a community. Why would you ever just close your doors and walk away? So it's not, you're not trapped in a franchise. We need you to just shift your thinking to, I'm building something of value that's not just cash flow, but it's equity, because we haven't talked about that, right? Like when you invest in, when you hear the name, any of these brand names, Chick-fil-A or the dollar store, or right, there is brand equity. When a consumer knows the brand, that's brand equity. And so when you, that's the biggest, upon exit, if you're building something to sell it, if you own three or four locations of a very well-established brand like Massage Envy or Orangetheory Fitness or Planet Fitness, right, in your area, you may be able to cash out for really big money from private equity, depending on where that brand is in its own growth curve. So, for example, I coach a lot of my investors who want to build to sell to enter at the beginning, to come in as a, with a pioneering brand. The time to invest in any of those brands I just mentioned, like Massage Envy or Orangetheory or Planet Fitness, was when they first started, when you could be the one telling the market what a $10 a month fitness membership meant. And you had the most established locations in Las Vegas, in the best locations. When the world woke up and everybody wanted one, and Planet Fitness was on the way to their IPO, that's when private equity groups started coming in and buying groups of clubs. I have a friend who was 58 years old who had been with Planet since day one, because Planet started right here in my hometown in Southern New Hampshire. He took Planet Fitness down to North and South Carolina. He ran the businesses for like 17 years. And at 58 years old, he was paid $80 million to go away. And now he has the high-class problem of what to do with all this money. So, right, like, so this is where franchising can really benefit you if you're investing smart and you're joining young, fast-growing emerging brands, if you have the heart for that and the risk tolerance for that, and you can ride that wave up and you can scale to multiple locations and the world wakes up. I mean, there's a lot of ifs in that equation, but if you're connected to the right people and that's their vision, which you would explore in the beginning, and all the stars align along the way, then that's when you can cash out. And then like there are other businesses like senior care businesses that are just sort of like Hondas. You know, they're going to hold their value because so if you build up an in-home care business, right, that takes care of adults with disabilities or seniors, and you have a staff of 50 to 100 caregivers, and let's say your business is doing $5 million a year, and you have established relationships with doctors in the community that are referring sources and nursing homes that are referring sources, and you've built all of this up maybe over the course of like 5 years or whatever. Listen, that is amazing value, and potentially to somebody in the medical community who would purchase that in your local community. So you can't underestimate the value of what you're creating, whether it's, 1 year in and you just decide this isn't the right thing for me, I got to get out, or you built something of real lasting value and now you're ready to exit. In fact, on my podcast, I just interviewed this guy, Charlie Jans, down in South Florida, who is an exit strategy coach. And he coaches people to think from the beginning how to build an entity with the end in mind so that you can get the value that you want. Because he said a lot of times people build businesses and then they sell it, but they can't retire. And I'm like, what do you mean they can't retire? He's like, well, because they didn't either build it to a big enough number, they didn't get enough upon resale. So now they have to like go back, especially if we're talking about like people who are selling a business in their 50s or 60s, not if you're like 35 years old or something and selling a business, but like they're actually ready to retire, but the exit strategy didn't come with enough valuation. And so now they're like in a conundrum, like, what do I do? So we had this awesome interview where he was like, come to me in the or as early as you can, and we'll work together over the years to just guide your business to the point where now you can sell it for this nice exit that will help you create that nest egg that will allow you to fully retire where work is only optional.
That's great. So we're at the top of the hour here. So unfortunately, as much as I'd like to keep this going all day, we do have to get on with the rest of ours respectively. So what I want to do now is I want to make sure that people are aware of an invitation that that you have for them. So if you go to this website, it's thedailycoach.com, and that's spelled Dally. So Thedallycoach.com. /webinar. So that's thedailycoach.com/webinar. You have the opportunity to get the full version of what we discussed today. You can simply sign up. It's absolutely free, and it's about creating wealth through franchise ownership. So this is where you can discover more about the potential benefits and joys of becoming a franchisepreneur. So with that, Kim Daly, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor. And believe me, in education.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.